Our scripture reading for this morning is recorded in St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, the 4th chapter. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It was about the fourth or fifth year that I was a pastor, so just kind of starting out. A lady in my congregation, middle-aged woman, came up to me and asked me if I would be willing to go see somebody in the hospital. And her name was Betty. And she said, but before you go, I've got to tell you some things about Betty so that you're prepared. She'd been working with Betty for a number of years, and Betty's husband had just died of cancer. He was in his 60s. Betty herself was in her mid to late 60s. And she had now just been given the news that she had terminal cancer, and to the point where there wasn't much they could do for her. But then this member of mine said to me, I've got to warn you some things about Betty if you go see her. She is very cold toward God. She had some Christianity when she was a little girl, but she's not been to church for decades and decades. She's not a Christian. She makes fun of Christianity. And she said she's lived a very hard life. And then I remember she said specifically, I need to warn you, Betty talks like a sailor, and she's known for being the raunchiest woman in our office. But this might be a good time to go see her. So I went up reluctantly to her hospital room and came in to meet Betty, introduced myself, and I remembered in seminary in our pastoral counseling course, the President Peterson used to say, the first thing you need to try to do is build a rapport with the person if you don't know them. So we just sat and talked about this member of mine that she knew. And then we slowly got to the subject of her diagnosis of cancer. And I said, how about if I come back and meet with you tomorrow? And I'll read to you a little bit. Is that okay? She said, all right. So I came back and gave her a devotion of law and gospel, very simple, basic truths and teachings from the Bible about our sin and our inability to get ourselves to heaven because of how wicked and evil we are, but then presented to her the beautiful grace of Christ that we just sang about and how God has given us this precious doctrine that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus and that we can have the certainty of heaven and the hope of the resurrection. And I remember laying out for her all the things that God had done for her. Well, the hospital told her a couple days later there was no more they could do and that she would just have to go home and they would just try to keep her comfortable as she died. They sent her home to her little trailer. And I went to visit her about twice a week for probably the next month or so before she died. She was always in bed. And it became very clear to me that Betty was very penitent of her sins. Had clearly recognized the evil that she had done in her life. But it also became very apparent how much she loved to hear the gospel and how much she loved to hear about God's grace and mercy and forgiveness in Christ, that God had exchanged all of her wicked evil onto Christ, and that's why he had gone to the cross, and that God had credited her with the holy, perfect record of Jesus himself as if she was now a holy and perfect saint before God. And you could tell she was really growing to appreciate and love that. One of the times that I went to see her a few weeks before she died, I read to her a devotion from John 14, those familiar, beautiful words of Jesus. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And explained to her the certainty that we have in Christ, how positive and absolutely sure that Jesus there doesn't speak about possibilities, but how sure we can be of his grace and the hope of heaven that we have. And from that point on, every time I'd go back to see her, she'd say, "Could you read that mansion one to me again?" She always wanted me to read those passages to her again each time. I probably visited her about 8, 9, 10 times or so before she died. And the final time I saw her, I could tell it was getting close. She gave me a very firm confession about her own sin and about how much she treasured the grace of Christ. And I told her that I would preach for her funeral, even though she hadn't technically become a member of our church, and that I would preach on that very text of John 14. At Betty's funeral, there were about 25 to 30 people that showed up. No family members. She didn't have any family left. Everybody that was there knew her from the trailer court or from work. And they knew her as a pretty tough lady who talked like a sailor. And I read the text, and I went into an explanation of how God, through Christ, gives even the vilest of sinners the greatest hope of salvation. I remember bringing up the thief on the cross. And I went on to explain how I knew Betty in a whole different way that last month or so of her life than they had for the previous so many years of her life. And in those last days of her life, she confessed her sin and that she had come to faith in Christ and gave a beautiful confession of what her Savior had done for her. And I preached with great certainty about her salvation through Christ. After the funeral, I had a number of people come up to me. Some of them were totally shocked. One person was upset that I could preach that someone like that would be in heaven. But one young lady, I remember, was pleasantly shocked. She had never heard about God's grace before and actually asked if she could take instruction because she wanted to learn more about it. When I was in seminary, the first year, there was Dr. Bjarne Teigen was teaching, and I remember he never did illustrations very much, but he wrote one on the board that really stuck with me. He wrote the word grace, and then he made a dotted line box around it. And he said, when St. Paul teaches us it is by grace you've been saved, he says, it's through faith. And he started drawing in the box around those dotted lines. It is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And he sealed the whole thing off. And he said, God wants us to know that no matter who you are, the way you get to heaven is only by his grace. And he cuts out every other possible thing that somebody could add to that. Betty believed God, and it was accounted to her for righteousness. No different than Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, we hear in our text. The circumstances of Abraham's life were completely different. The intensity of his faith was certainly stronger. The length of time was clearly much, much longer that he lived in that grace. The way that God used him as the forefather of the coming Messiah was certainly much, much more grand than Betty in her little trailer house. But Betty and Abraham arrived in heaven the same way, through the same grace, through the same gospel, by means of the same Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior that you and I have as well. The one who says to you and me, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen.